we've got to start putting this on video so we can see your opening dances.
I never realized how many like really nice drums there were in this.
Oh yeah, it's really good.
It's got a nice little background.
This guy where we got this from has so many like different pieces of music. There's no way he's playing all this stuff. It's got to be like all computer generated, I guess.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know.
The one I use for my other podcast is like it's a legit little jazz tune. I mean, I like it. It sounds real tight. It's popping.
Nice little ditty.
Yeah. And there's no way he's that talented. Otherwise, he wouldn't be giving free music on the internet. And it's funny. You go to his website and it's free music and graph paper.
Graph? Well,
a lot of range there.
Graph paper?
Yeah. It's like I do woodworking and I don't know. Pharmaceuticals.
Woodworking too?
No. I'm saying pick two completely different things. I compose and record music and I make my own
paper. And I make graph paper. How do you make graph paper? Don't you just print the lines on it?
I think so.
I mean, it doesn't seem like that would be that time consuming.
I went there for the music, not for the graph paper. I don't know.
Anyway.
Pretty weird. Anyway, welcome back to the Uprooted Podcast. You're Christine.
And that's John.
Hi, everybody. How's it going?
Were you expecting people to answer?
Or? Yeah, I am.
Oh, okay.
We did tease a couple of weeks ago that we might make a phone number and take some calls, but I don't.
Right.
I mean, you know, just like other things in our life, we kind of said that and then didn't do it. So, you know, maybe we still will. I don't know.
Well, it's a strange time.
It is a weird time.
Not like in the world, but like.
Well, it is.
But literally on the clock, it's a weird time.
Yeah, yeah.
I think like quite a few of the people that might call into us are probably still
eating dinner
and getting their dinner going and dealing with homework and all that jazz.
Hey, that's mighty presumptuous of you to say that people might actually call in. That would make me feel real special. I don't care.
I mean, yeah. And I'd hate to be like, oh, the lines are open. And then we're like, crickets. You know? And then like, we don't have a show because we expected people to call.
No, we could probably set some people up, like your mom or somebody to call and just say, hey guys. And you know?
Sure.
I don't know. Maybe. What did I want to bring up? I also teased that this is the month of love because it's February and it's your birthday month. So, you know, we didn't talk about this ahead of time, but we should probably talk about something love related, right?
Well, I think we should do that for next episode.
Oh, we're only going to do one episode in the month of love?
Okay. I guess we...
No, I mean, it's okay.
No, I'm just saying because we've got something cool from Dr. Laura Freuen, not the other one.
Yeah. Schlesinger.
Schlesinger. That I want to introduce that I think would be perfect for next week since it's, you know, day after Valentine's Day that this comes out. It's like relationship based.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think that would be kind of cool to do that. So I was thinking we would do that next episode, but if you have something you want to discuss this episode, we can totally do that.
No, it's all good. We can, I don't know. Is there anything love related we can just bring up? Well, we had said that it's been almost a year to the day since we had our last date night.
Right. Yes.
That's love related. We somehow powered through.
I don't love that, I will say.
I don't either. Don't love that. We make it work by having our own like quasi date nights while we watch TV with a little cheese and wine.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Yeah. All right. Well, that's it on love. Should we just get right to it? Because we have a lot to cover with this other.
We do. But I've got a question for you. The kids kind of helped me come up with this question for this week.
Oh, really?
Yes. We kind of hit on it. And I didn't ask you why specifically because I wanted to hear it on the show.
Okay.
So you said your answer at dinner time when we had our questionnaire question. But I purposely did not ask you to explain because I wanted to hear your answer on the show.
Okay.
So the kids asked us, if you could be stuck at an age, what age would you be stuck at?
Yeah.
So you said what?
I said 35.
And why did you say 35?
I said 35 because I feel like at that point in your life, you kind of stop caring about all the things that seemed important to you when you were young, like being trendy with clothing and stuff like that. You're not quite old enough yet where things hurt when you get up in the morning. And I feel like in the workplace, you're at the age where you're starting to have a little bit of juice, a little bit of influence. You're still kind of good looking, hopefully. I just feel like that's the age.
Okay.
Being in the 20s is too young. Like you don't have any influence in the workplace yet.
Okay.
You're not taken seriously. And going much past 35 is when the joints start hurting for absolutely no reason. Take it from me.
Right.
you know, the hair gets a little gray, or maybe it's just sprinkled in a little bit at 35. I feel like that's just right
okay, on. Okay, all right. And you could be president?
Exactly.
You yes. are eligible to be president. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Well, I would pick 28. Yeah.
Because like you don't want to be 30?
You're not 29 yet, so you're not close to 30. You're still still legit in your 20s. You are
close to 30, technically.
No.
You're closer still to 30 than you're not.
In but. Your 20s.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I also still feel like that's old enough to like you could have a career, you could have a couple kids and not seem weird.
Hmm. Yeah.
That's how I feel about 28. You're still a grown up, but you're not a kid anymore for sure.
Okay.
But you're also not old. You're in your 20s still. I think
this is perfect
dichotomy
between men and women right here.
Right.
Perfect case study. Men really don't care about being older, and you women are like fixated on that 29. You just continue to repeat your 29th birthday forever.
Yeah, I know.
What's the deal with getting old? Like, why is it such a problem?
Because for women, getting old is bad.
Even if you're accomplished, all the men treat you in, and do they really? Come on,
the younger girls judge you, and you get flabby and gross, and it's just not good. You get wrinkles everywhere. You got to color your hair.
But my point is that if you've already arrived, you have your career, you have your kids, you're married to someone you enjoy being with, you have your house, all those things. Who cares about all that?
I know it's a women thing. It just is. And I'm sure there's other women out there who really don't care.
I think it's very presumptuous and a little bit mean to say that women get traded in. That's not a regular thing. No, it doesn't.
Come on.
That's a common thing. Come on. No way.
Come on. When have you ever seen somebody trade their young hot wife for an old, ugly one? Never.
I know, but I just mean the concept of trading them in. You're making it seem like it's an everyday occurrence.
Well, it's not every day, but it happens a lot. You have There's to say a lot of loyal dudes
out there who stick with their women. A lot of older
guys who leave their wives after years and years of marriage. You know what I'm saying? They go for the younger chick.
I don't think that's why, though. They're not doing it to go for the younger chick.
Maybe the Something wife doesn't care anymore. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I guess. Anyway. I don't know.
That's what I would choose. I would choose 28.
All right. Well, do you want to introduce this next piece?
Sure.
Go for it.
All right. So this is something that if you listened to our last episode, and if you didn't, please do. Our guest, Dr. Laura Froyen, kind of let us know that on her page, it's a free workbook. And it's absolutely free. Literally, all I did was put my email address in, and I got this really cool workbook. So please, if you enjoy the questions in here, or you think this would be helpful for you and your spouse about your children, please, please do this. It was a really big eye-opener for me when I was writing these down, and I think talking to each other about what we have will be eye-opening as well. So, So it's a workbook. Does it have a name? I don't know if it has a name.
I don't know. I'd have to double check my email.
I'd have to look, but it basically, you'll hear, going through kind of what you want for your children, how you and your spouse are similar to each other, not similar to each other, and what you guys can do to work it out and get on the same page.
Hey, real quick before we get into this.
Yeah.
I went to the doctor last week. Hooray.
Whoa.
Huzzah. I finally went to the doctor, and I learned something very important. Full disclosure, just how important mental health is. 90% of my visit was about mental health.
Absolutely.
I didn't realize I had anxiety so bad. And just talking to someone, I don't know if it was the way they questioned me or talked to me about it, but I'm pretty messed up. Like, I was like having shakes and was nervous about going in there. And they're like, my friend, you have anxiety. Like, bad. And now it makes sense because Jacob has it too. And maybe it's hereditary and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So I think doing things like this and trying to become a better parent and talking to people like Dr. Laura, taking advantage of the free resources, no shame in that game, everybody. You should do it.
Absolutely. Definitely. Mental health is a really important thing. If you are not mentally stable, then your household is not mentally stable.
And sometimes you might not even know it. So seek these things out. Go to the doctor. Talk about it. Because you may be doing all these things and not even realize there's a problem, especially you guys out there. I know it's kind of a weird subject for men. Men's mental health is tricky. Guys have a hard time like admitting that they're, you know, not strong enough to deal with these things. And they're under some of the biggest stress out there. So guys, check your mental health.
Absolutely. All right. Absolutely. So I'm going to kind of go through this coming together part because we did our separate parts already. So now we're at the coming together.
Excellent.
So I'm just going to kind of read through what this page says for people at home so they know what this process is about. We had some worksheets. We had questions we were supposed to answer based on ourselves, our partners, our relationships with our kids and our kids separately. And now we're supposed to come together and kind of talk to each other about how we answer these questions. So it says we should I actually really like this. It says to take a moment just to breathe, connect with your core. Realize that we are naturally gentle, loving, and compassionate.
Yes.
So that we don't fly off the handle at each other, which I like.
Yes.
Yes. This is a, as it says on this page right here, this is a vulnerable situation.
Yeah, it is. I already know based on some of the things I put that I might get a few fuck yous my way.
Right. Maybe, well, I don't think so. I'm not like that. Yeah, come on. Right. So it says, before discussing your answers, first reflect together on the experience of and on the process. We're supposed to take turns and listen actively and with intention. So let's talk about the process first. How was it for you writing all of these answers down, like really thinking about these questions? Was it easy or did you have to kind of dig deep?
No, it was very easy because I really think about all these things a lot. Like I mentioned on the last episode, all of this stuff's very important to me. And I think about it constantly about how I can be better, how what I'm doing wrong with the kids, what I'm doing right, what I'm doing wrong or right with you. So it's not like it may not seem like it sometimes based on my actions, but it's something that's in the front of my mind constantly. So it was very easy to write these down.
It was difficult for me, actually. I think because it's something that I do think about on a regular basis, but I try to do it with my actions rather than my thoughts, I guess. So I never put words to what I was trying to do. So it was difficult for me to put it into words of what I was trying to say.
Okay.
That makes sense, which is weird because I'm usually a very good wordy person. I like to write a lot. I like to share my feelings through writing a lot. So it's definitely different for me to have such a hard time.
I kind of took a different approach because I think a better speaker than writer sometimes. So I just put like bullet notes and bullet points and you and I can expand on it verbosely through the microphone. So maybe that's why it was easier because I just jotted stuff down quickly.
All right. So we're supposed to just listen to each other while we're talking and not interrupt each other and just stay present in the moment.
Oh, boy.
So I think that's going to be very difficult for both of us.
No, it's way easier for you. I do the editing on this podcast and I interrupt a butt ton. And I think it's because I try to just have conversation. Right. But yeah, you are a very, very much better listener than me.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I think I'm just not a big talker.
Maybe.
I think that's my problem. All right. Well, why don't you go ahead and go first with the hopes and dreams? It says, what are your hopes and dreams for your children, for their future, for their lives, for who they will one day become? Be specific.
Okay. So I spoke about this last episode. My number one is I just want them to be good people. And I think that there's plenty of examples of not so good people out there nowadays. So everyone out there should know what I'm talking about. It's the racists, the nasty people on social media, the narcissists out there in the world that don't care about their fellow man. They go to their parking spot at the mall and just sit there for a day and a half, even though they know there's a car waiting to take their spot. They have no awareness of anyone else. They don't care. I just want them to be good people, be aware that they're not the only one in this world. And they need to treat people with respect. They need to be nice. They need to be helpful. And I'd like them to be faithful. That's what I mean by part of this good people. The other thing I put down is successful. I think that speaks for itself. And success means different things on different levels. So whatever they do in their lives, I want them to do it well. You know? So success doesn't necessarily equal money or status or title. If they're flipping burgers at McDonald's, I want them to be the best damn burger flipper there is. So really dedicate. If that's all they want to do, that's fine. I used to tell my employees this all the time. If you don't want to be the boss, that's great. If you just want to, we need people like you too. But I want you to be the best person at what you're doing. So really try hard. Be dedicated. That's what I mean by be successful. Don't be a bum. I want them to be happy. Just general happiness. I want them to be satisfied. Did I write down too many?
No.
And what I mean by satisfied is I don't want them to be like me. I feel like I'm never satisfied when it comes to work and my path in life and things like that. I mentioned that last episode as well. I always want to do more. Like, what's the next position I could get to? I don't know if I'd ever be at a position where I'd be happy with what I'm doing. You know, I always want to do some kind of tinkering to the house. Like, it's never good enough. It's like that Walt Disney mentality. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. I do.
I'd like them to be ambitious. Like I said, I don't want them to be a bum. And this one's really important to me, too. I should have put this as number two underneath.
Oh, you numbered.
I didn't, but I just kind of put them in order as they came to me. But this one is up there with being good people. I want them to be passionate. I can't stand people that just have no pulse when it comes to anything in life. Like, if you're going to pursue something like a podcast or woodworking or whatever, go all in, learn about it, try to be the best at it. That's an important quality to me.
Okay.
That's it.
I think it's really, I was listening to what you were saying, and I think it's really interesting. I think both of our hopes and dreams for our children are something that we feel maybe we lack, or that's super important for us.
Yes. That's what she said last episode
too. It was very interesting. Yeah. So I broke this into basically three categories. One for what I would like for both of them. One for what I want specifically for Jacob, and one specifically for Isabel. Because I feel like our children are two very different people.
You're an overachiever. You're making me look very bad here.
No, it's just how I think.
That's true.
So for both of them, I want them to be comfortable and not struggling. So I don't necessarily care whether they're wealthy. I just want them to be comfortable and to not have to do what we did at some point where we were like, we have one penny in our bank account until, you know, you get paid again or whatever it is. So I just want them to not have to do that like we did and just be comfortable. I want them to be happy in whatever choice they make. So whatever choice, like you said, if they choose to flip burgers, I just want them to be happy about it, if that makes sense.
Perfect sense. Yeah, I think that aligns with mine.
Right. We both said we would like them to be faithful. And I think that's funny that we've kind of fallen off the wagon. So I feel like maybe we should get back into that.
Well, I know I'm supposed to listen, but mine had double meaning. I'd like them to practice their faith, but I also want them to be faithful to their friends and to their spouse.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Like, don't be that person that's always looking for something different.
Right. Well, I'm speaking specifically of faith, of church.
Hey, Corona made us fall off the wagon. It's not our fault. We still say our prayers every night and before dinner and all that stuff. We're devoted.
And I specifically said faithful because I'm a huge believer in choosing, you know, like at the point in time, like when I was in high school and it was time in our religion for me to be confirmed in the Catholic faith, I actually chose not to at that point. And I'm surprised that my parents didn't force me to do that at that point. I was really looking back. I admire their decision to allow me to just kind of do it on my own. So I feel like at that point in their lives, they have that choice, whether they want to stay in this faith, they want to pursue something new. I just want them to be in it and to live it and to feel that. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So that's why I said faithful and not like Catholic or religious, you know?
Yeah.
I want them to be good people just like you. I want them to give. I want them to care, to be compassionate about people. I want them to stay together. I want them to like do barbecues together and get their families together and go on vacations together and have holidays together. And when we're not here anymore, I don't want the families to break up. I want them to continue to be together. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that I feel like I was together with mine for a while and then that went away. And now that we moved, it'll probably never be a thing again. But
right.
Well, I feel like with our kids, they need each other. So they almost have to stay together.
Yeah. I really want them to stay together.
Well, you and I both have a weird relationship with siblings. Like, there's so much space between them.
Right.
So that was kind of different, but they're so close and they're not too close. Like, my oldest and middle brother are too close. So growing up, they constantly butt heads and now they're not, you know, the best of friends.
I think my biggest thing is that I see, like, I have a lot of friends who, with their siblings, they're close in age. And so they all do family vacations together and, going out with brother and sister-in-law for dinner. And I love that their kids are close together and it's big, happy family, you know, holiday parties because everybody is so close.
I know some friends that are like that, and it's 100% due to the parenting. So I think that we're on the right track with that. I mean, just by circumstance, our kids have been attached at the hip since birth, so they're going to be very close. I don't see them having some huge falling out someday, you know?
Mm-hmm. All right, so specifically for Jacob, I want for him to understand the true joys in life. Right now, he's so fixated on what kind of a house he's going to have and how much money he's going to have and what kind of a job he can have to make him the most money. I want him to understand that there's more than having a super huge house.
Yes. And I realize now that his fixation on that is 100% my fault.
No, I don't know about that.
Well, I mentioned it last episode, that goal I had for myself, and maybe I spoke about that a little too loud. I think both of us have spoken too much about wanting our house. And you mentioned it too, all the struggles we went through. We're not very good at hiding those. And so I think he picks up on that. He's so analytical, which is one of my other answers later.
But I don't think we've ever, equated success as big, like the biggest house. I don't think we've ever done that. We just equated it to having a place of our own.
No.
That we're not renting, that we can, it's ours, we can stay, you know?
Yeah, I think it's a mix of that plus he so badly wants to fit in with everybody because he's so different.
I want him to have a spouse that understands his quirks, and I want him to be happy in whatever profession he chooses, because I know him, and when he gets bored, he'll lose all interest in anything.
Yeah.
So I just want him to be happy. For Isabel, I want her to continue to be comfortable in her own skin, to have a spouse who appreciates her and treats her as equal or better, because it's hard out there for women.
It is.
So I want all that for her. She's super confident right now, and I want her to stay that way.
Yeah.
I don't want this world to beat her down.
All right, so the next one.
Next one. It says, what are your hopes and dreams for your relationship with your children? Now and as they age, be as detailed as possible.
I put friendly. And I think that it's important to understand those barriers of I'm the parent and you're not for certain things. But I also think it's completely possible to be your son's best man in their wedding.
I think that's totally possible.
So to keep it totally friendly and, you know, have those have a beer with your son when they're old enough at a football game or something. That kind of friend relationship that I know for a fact I never really had with my dad. I feel like I have that with your dad now. And that's how I want it to be the whole way growing up. And I try to do that, but sometimes it gets a little challenging at this age that they're at now. I feel like that's why I like the kids as they get older. I know you like them as babies. I like them as they age. Like, I can't wait to join a gym and go with Jacob when he's 14. So we can just have that kind of no parenting, no lessons being learned, just kind of buddy guy time. And I think that's important and okay.
I think it's totally natural for you to feel like that. I like, well, not you specifically, as people, as humans, to feel like that I specifically loved the children when they were babies.
Yeah.
Because at that point in their life, they're very dependent on mommy. They really need me. So you probably didn't feel as much of a connection as I did with them at that point in time. And now that they're getting older, that connection's kind of severing a little bit.
Yeah.
They don't need me as much for that kind of stuff. So I think it's just natural for you to be excited about that point in life, because it's like, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah, I don't know. What I mean by friendly is, like, I love it when I'm in the car with just Isabel and we're talking about Taylor Swift or something. Like, it's like we're buddies. I'm not her dad at that moment. She's not my daughter. We're just two people in a car.
Right.
The next one I put was trusting. I want them to be able to trust us to come tell us anything.
Right.
Because that's so important. If they don't feel that way, that's when kids get into trouble.
Yeah.
And so I want them to know that I don't care how bad or good it is. You get drunk at a party when you're 18, call me and I will pick you up. We'll deal with it later about how you screwed up in a friendly, respectful way. But I want to be there to help you, and I can't help you unless you trust me.
Yeah.
And we trust each other. So that's very important to me. I guess kind of hand in hand with that is honest. I don't want any lying. There's no need to lie to your parents. There's no need to lie to each other. If all these things fall into place, you can tell me, Isabel, hey, I screwed up and had unprotected sex the other day and I'm worried about it. And we'll figure it out.
I'm going to freak out, but that's okay.
Oh, I'm absolutely.
You cannot freak out. I'll go freak out by myself.
I'm going to internally freak out and maybe step away and go freak out and clean my shotgun off. But I want to know about it because then I can help.
You're right.
And so if we're honest about it and all these things fall into place, I can't help if some people are hiding things.
Yeah.
You know, and these all kind of flow together. The next one is open. Just have that open relationship where you can tell me all that stuff so I can help and walk you through it. Nothing's too taboo for me. Let me hear it, you know. Mm-hmm. And then the other one is respectful. I don't like any, as they get older, I don't want any fuck you dad from Jacob or whoever. That's just not necessary either. You can be mad. We can both be mad, but we should never come to the point where we're yelling, threatening to kick you out on your own, punching, none of that stuff you see out there.
On Teen Mom.
Yeah. I have a note about that later. But.
Okay, so my turn. Kind of along the lines of what you've been saying, I want to be the one that they come to when they need someone. So when they were babies, they ran to mommy when they hurt themselves or they couldn't tie their shoe or they couldn't get something out of a toy or whatever it was. They came to me and I just want that to continue. You know, like I'll call my mom still sometimes when I'm like, I don't understand. Like she just helped me the other day with an insurance paper thing that I didn't get. I'm like, explain this to me. So I called her. Sometimes I'll call my dad when I have a question about saving money or something that I need answered. So I want to be that person that they're like, that's the first thing they think of is I'm going to call mom or I'm going to call dad. I want to continue to grow our relationship. And I'm so scared because I keep hearing how terrible it is, but I don't want to lose them when they're in their teen years. You know, you get this, you're so close together and then they get to be teenagers and your relationship's just gone for that short period of time. It was like that with my parents. Yeah. I was in my room. My door was shut. I wasn't talking to them. I had nothing to do with them, basically.
Well, I'll try to say this delicately. I feel like we're on the right track with that. And I know without getting into too much detail, that's a two-way street. Your parents kind of dropped the ball on that as well. Well,
but I think I was more like 80% and they were 20% on that one.
Whatever. I wasn't there. I don't know. But I think it's both sides. So that's up to us just as much as it is up to them. And I think we're already doing the right things to make sure that doesn't happen.
Right. I want to be a good example that they can look back on. So when they're going through something, they can remember what mom and dad did. Like, oh, my mom was always doing this and that. And so they can, you know, kind of have that as an example. This is really silly, but I want to be like the voice in their head when we're not together. So like if they're at a party and they're going to do something they shouldn't be doing, I want to be that voice and have them go, my mom's going to be really disappointed if I do this.
Yeah, same.
So I get that sometimes. You sometimes are a voice in my head when I'm like, maybe not a great idea. Or, oh, John would really, really like this. Or whatever it is. Like I can hear that internal conscience, I guess it is. But I really want to be that for them. And then my last one is I just want to be the source of fond memories that make them smile when I'm not there anymore.
Yeah, not
I
cry.
Don't want them to like think back and be like, you know, oh, that was so horrible, or she never did this for me, or I need to go seek something because she never gave it to me.
You know, kind of along those lines, I would love it when they have their own kids and the kids are doing what ours do now about like, oh, you never buy us anything or do anything. Instead of saying what you and I say about you should have been what it was like when I was a kid, I had nothing, I didn't get this. I want them to be able to say, you know what? I got everything I wanted as a kid.
Your Nana and Papa were the best.
And you shall too. All right. So the next one is looking for the best. It says seeing your child clearly.
Yes.
If you had to describe your child in three words, what would they be? I did this separate for each kid.
Same.
So for Jacob, I put literal, analytical, and loyal.
Okay.
And for Isabel, I put fun, free spirit, and social. I know I added an extra word in there, but... with free spirit, but I'm counting,
I have one too. That's
counting double. That as one. Should I just go on or do you want to cut in and do yours?
Let's cut in because I think it's interesting that our words are so different.
Go for it.
I don't know if we see our children differently or that's really interesting. I'd love to, like, I wish Dr. Laura was here to like chime in and be like, well, because of this and this.
Well, maybe we can get her back on.
I wonder if there's things that are more important to us that we notice in our children or...
You know, I think we should email these to her and reach out and find out.
So for Jacob, I said so smart. So I added an extra word in there. Hilarious and endearing.
Okay.
I said endearing because it's like no matter what, you can't help but love this kid. I mean, anybody who truly knows him is like Jacob Michael.
Yeah.
They love him.
Yeah.
For Isabel, I said sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
I said confident, and I said compassionate.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they're not too different. I feel like they're different words for the same.
Yeah. Okay.
Things, but I know with my Jacob column, listen, it's no secret. I'm way harder on him than I am on Isabel. I see him completely differently.
Yeah.
And I made notes about this. It's because I want him to be a good man.
Yeah.
And I feel like I was kind of denied that interaction with my dad growing up. And so I'm very conscious of, I want to make sure he knows all the things he's supposed to know, a proper handshake, tie your tie, how to treat a lady, all those things.
Right.
Because I know how important that is. So I see him very differently. I'm very hard on him. If he is mean to his sister or mean to you, I show him what for.
Yeah.
You know, I don't beat him or anything. Don't call the CPS.
But. All right. So why did you pick number one?
Well, and also it says, are they true? Are they always true?
Right.
So I said, yes, it's always true. He's literal. I picked that just because it's endearing. I think it's funny because I'm the same way. So it's like carbon copy of me,
mm-hmm.
but it's also incredibly frustrating sometimes. And I'm seeing that as the outside looking in. And it's kind of eye opening for me about how frustrating I can be to people like you or maybe my boss or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I've already run into that a few times where I've like read into this policy manual, like to the word. And I go and I'm like, but it says this. And my boss is like, but we're doing this. And I'm like, but it says this. That's great, but we're doing this. And I've been able to recognize it now where I can put the disclaimer and say, maybe I'm looking at this too literally, but I'm coming to you saying that it says this and it's really going to bother me. Just letting you know.
Yeah.
But I see Jacob doing that. And yes, it's always true for him. Analytical, I put yes. He analyzes everything. I mean, everything he doesn't just go into something. Like if it's a video game, he has to watch a tutorial on how to play it before he even attempts it.
Mm-hmm.
So he analyzes every piece of it and how he can do it better. And then I put the loyal part. I put actually that, no, that's not always true. If he's mad at you, he's not very loyal. Like there's been times he's been really mad at me and I don't get the kiss goodnight. I don't get the goodnight you two. He'll come down and deliberately exclude me and he won't say I love you. And I'll always tell him, what if I die in my sleep and you didn't say I love you? You'll feel bad. I know he feels bad, but he still won't do it.
Yeah.
But he comes around like the next morning, it's all forgotten about. So it's not always true. I didn't want to lie and say, yes, it's always true. I pick that one because when his sister gets hurt or you fall down or something, he is like on it. Like, are you okay? What can I do for you? Can I get something for you? Like he is very loving, very loyal to his family and mm-hmm. hopefully his friends someday. Oh yeah. I have another kid.
Yeah. We have two children.
So Isabel, I said, it's not always true that she's fun.
No, sometimes she's so not.
90% of the time, she's super fun. She's just a big goofball, very silly. And so that's why I chose that one. But, you know, when she's frustrated, tired, or angry, she's not very fun.
Mm-mm.
And she lets everyone know about it. Free spirit, I said, yes, this is always true. That she does not care
Mm-mm.
really who judges her. She doesn't care nope. that she's got a little bit of a belly. She wears her clothes the way she wears them. She puts her hair in a side ponytail. She doesn't care.
Nope.
And I hope that carries on. It's going to get tougher and tougher to maintain that, I think, for a woman
yeah.
as she ages. But I really love that about women that are like that. So I hope she can continue to do that. And then I picked social. And I said sometimes when she's comfortable. I've noticed lately as she's gotten older that she's not so outgoing in an uncomfortable or foreign situation. But if she knows you, she's very social and very talkative. Her friend, she's on the phone all day with her friend.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So Jacob being smart, I said that this is always true. He's always been smart. I feel like he's always going to be smart. This is something he's really proud of, I think. And when he doesn't understand something, it gets him down. So I feel like smart is definitely something he is. For hilarious, I said, yes, he's always hilarious. He thinks so differently. That it just can really bring a smile to your face or really make you think. The last one is endearing, and I kind of already touched on it. He's not always endearing. Sometimes people don't get him, and they can kind of go after him a little bit. But I think once people really get to know him, you can't help but love him. Everybody who's ever really known him in his life just loves him to pieces. For Isabel, the sunshine thing, of course, she's not always a sunshine. You just said it yourself. But it's interesting to me because this is always something people bring up unsolicited. Every one of her teachers has made a comment that she lights up a room when she comes in, that she's always so happy and always so positive and peppy. And so that's something that makes me think of her. We already talked about how confident she is. She says and does whatever she wants to do. And then her compassion. I feel like she's always very compassionate. She worries about things so much. She worries about who's going to get hurt. And, you know, she doesn't want to hurt people's feelings. She worries about animals all the time. And she doesn't want to love one stuffed animal more than another one. And they all have to have, you know, hugs together. And, you know, she's very worried about people's feelings. So that's it. That's our kids.
All right. On to the next one.
Yeah.
Okay, the next one is, if you had to describe your relationship with your child in three words, what would they be? For Jacob, I said challenging, fun, and intense. And for Isabel, I also said fun, I said sweet, and I said important.
Yes. This one was really hard for me because my relationship with Jacob is so weird. I feel like when he has his guard down, I'm who he comes to when he wants to be comforted. So if you got really upset with him, he comes to me and he hugs me, but he doesn't want to talk to me. He rarely cuddles with me or anything like that. So I feel like maybe our relationship will change as he gets older. But right now it was just really confusing for me.
Yeah.
So I only have comfort. I feel like that's really all I'm there for him for now, which is fine. I'm okay. That's what he needs from me at this moment.
Yeah.
For Isabel, I'm also, I feel like, a place for comfort for her. She comes to me a lot when she needs hugs and she gets kisses. And if she's hurt or needs help with something, she comes to me when she wants to talk. Our relationship is talkative. And she also seeks my approval a lot. She likes to hear me tell her I'm proud of her and tell her what a great job she did. And like she needs to hear that. I feel like all of that's always true for her. Jacob, it's not always true. It's just when he needs it. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I picked challenging for Jacob because I think I mentioned already he's very much like me. And I'm challenging. And I see that. And I see what those challenges have done for me. So it's challenging to deal with some of his quirks and issues sometimes. He's not always that way, though. I put fun because, like you said, with the endearing, he's tons of fun. Like playing Xbox with him and whatever, watching a movie is fun.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's not always fun. Sometimes he gets in his moods. And then for the intense part, I put, it's not always intense between me and him, but I feel like 90% of our conversations in the car when we're alone or whatever are trying to teach him something. And like I said, it's because I want him so badly to be a good man someday. So it's constantly, this is 100% on me. It's all my fault. I'm always trying to say, how can we do this different? Trying to teach him. And I probably need to lay off on that a little bit because I think it's a little too intense for him sometimes. For Isabel, I pick fun. It's self-explanatory. She's super fun. I pick sweet because her and I have a very sweet relationship. We got little nicknames for each other and it's just sweet. It's that whole daddy-daughter thing that you always wanted to have. And then I put important because as we've seen in things like Teen Moms and other shows like that, it's so important for me to be a strong figure in her life.
Yes.
It's important for her to see me treat you well, at least most of the time. I try. All those things are just, it's important for her for me to be open and honest with her, to go listen to her when she has cramps or has boy problems, to know that she can come to me. It's so important.
Well, yeah, you're a model for what she should be looking for in a man in her life, if that's obviously who she chooses. But anyway.
Yeah. Either way, I get the ladies enough to know if she went that way too.
Right.
So.
But I'm just saying she needs to see what a good relationship is and what somebody who treats her with respect looks like. Otherwise, she'll go the opposite direction and try to find a different type of person that we really don't want in her life.
Right.
All right. So we'll move on because I kind of added mine together. I already talked about mine. So.
Okay. Sure.
So this one is through your child's eyes. If your child had to describe your best qualities in three words, what would they be?
All right. I did this separate as well. For Jacob, I said fun, loyal, and present. And for Isabel, I said fun, nice, and silly.
Okay. For me, I put an asterisk.
Oh, this is the one.
This is the one.
Okay.
This is something that I have a very hard time with, and I should probably be in therapy. I'm very uncomfortable talking positively about myself. I have a very hard time trying to see what people would find about me that would be positive, if that makes sense.
Yes.
So when I sat here thinking, what are the good things my kids would see in me, couldn't think of anything.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, this is obviously something that I need help with, that I should probably see someone for, but I can't really think of anything.
Well, I think we had to answer for each other, so I can give you some on the next page.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's a bummer.
I know, I'm sorry.
Yeah, get some help with that.
I try really hard, but nobody wants to help me.
So the three areas of growth for me that I think that they would pick for me, Jacob would be patience, yelling, and being nicer. And Isabel would be patience, yelling, and being nicer.
Oh, that well. For me, I said, I think they would want me to give in more. So I'm very like, no, everything's no.
Yeah, that's kind of what I meant by being nicer too. Like the, I always get told I'm mean when I say no.
You know, so I think they would want me to do that. I have this weird thing that if I say no first, no matter what they do, I can't say yes after that. Because then they'll just learn that they can just do whatever that thing is to get a yes.
Yeah, and I'm more like that scene in Hamilton where it's like, tell me how to say no to this. I can't say no. When they're coming to me for an Otter Pop, I don't see it as a big deal, but I'm like,
I know.
Mom would say no. We need to be united front, so no. And then they're like, oh, you're an asshole.
Yeah, I know. My number two is maybe to not be so busy, because I'm always busy. And my number three is to be with them more and like play with them. And I think it kind of goes together with two, because I'm just so damn busy that I don't have time to just sit and watch Jacob play his video game, or watch his new thing he made on YouTube, or braid Isabel's hair, straighten it like she wants me to, or do the nails. She always asks me to polish her nails, and I can't because I'm so busy.
Yeah. I think I put that as an opportunity for you.
Hmm. All right. What are your strengths as a parent?
Is this my opinion of myself?
Yes.
I put that I'm loyal, caring, passionate, and a good listener. And my parenting triggers are disrespect, listening, and carelessness. I talked about that last episode. All right, go ahead with yours.
I said that they would, or my strengths as a parent are being a good listener and providing for them.
What are your parenting triggers?
Did you already say yours?
I did.
Oh, yeah. You did. I'm sorry. I don't know what I mean by this.
Well, that's good.
I wrote it down, but I'm not sure.
I'm not sure what the question meant either.
Not getting help. Oh, yes. That's my parenting trigger. Like when they won't help me do something, like pick up your stuff off the stairs clean up your room, or can you please do your chores? Like that bothers me.
Gotcha.
Laziness.
Okay.
And whining. Like I can't. That drives me nuts.
Yeah. This next question is, what do you want more of in your relationship with your child? What are you willing to do to get it? For me, I said calm and thoughtful interactions. I feel like sometimes when I'm telling them things, they don't listen, which causes me to get upset. And to answer the question of what am I willing to do, I will do whatever it takes.
Oh, that's a cop out.
Medication, therapy. No,
I'm teasing because that's what I wrote too.
It was eye-opening yesterday, our last episode, just hearing some of those things. Like I don't want to be that way. Yeah. I don't think anybody does, so I need some help.
All right, so I split these up into each child. For Jacob specifically, I want him to talk to me more, to tell me how he's feeling about things. If I say, how was your day? Not just fine. I want to know a little bit more. And I know that's probably just not going to happen just due to his particular personality.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Again, I would be willing to do whatever it takes. If that meant that I'm going to sit here and listen to him talk to me about YouTube for 3 hours. Then that's what it's going to take. Yeah. And I try really hard when he comes to talk to me about stuff to try to focus. And if I can't, I try to tell him, Jacob, I really want to hear what you have to say, but give me a minute. And of course, he comes back exactly a minute later. But anyway.
Yeah.
For Isabel, I want her to be more independent.
Mm.
She needs to do things without me.
Yes.
So in order to do that, I'm willing to give her more responsibilities and deal with the whining that comes with it.
Okay. Good luck with that.
Yes.
I'm going to hold you to that. All right, the next page is through your eyes. If you had to describe the best qualities of your partner, as a parent in just three words, what would they be? So now I'm talking about you. I put loving, patient, and mama bear. Now, I know that's two words, but what I mean by that is if I don't care if it's the biggest, meanest dude armed with knives and guns, if they try to hurt your kids, you're going to fucking throw down and probably end up killing that person that's bigger than you.
Oh, yeah.
You will do anything. I've seen you do it. I've seen you challenge people that you probably shouldn't challenge. I mean, you'll stop at nothing to protect them, which I love because usually that's a dad's function and I'm the same way. But having two of us makes me feel like they're safe with you.
Mm-hmm. My turn?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I said you are loving both emotionally and physically with them, which I love. You are a very hard worker, which is a good example for them, I think. And I like that you spend so much quality time with them.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the areas of growth for your partner. Don't throw anything at me, okay?
It says remember to be gentle and loving.
Yes. So for me, I feel like, and you kind of hit on this, but then you also contradicted it.
Oh.
And said you're a good listener. I feel like sometimes you're not. When you're having just your time, you finally get to detach from them a little bit and you just want to thumb through your Facebook and you're getting mommy, 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 mommy. Sometimes it takes like 100 mommies for you to even acknowledge. Sometimes to the point where I step in and I'm like, what do you need? And it kind of upsets me because you've said that they always come to you and you want to be there for them. I wish they would come to me because then you could.
Me too.
Well, yeah, because you could get that break and it's usually something stupid like pour me milk or whatever, something I'm more than capable of doing. So maybe this is also a challenge for me. Maybe I haven't shown enough of that. So they don't come to me. They just go to you.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but sometimes I know it's frustrating. And I think I picked this one because I remember this and she will deny it till the day is long. I remember that specifically from my childhood, trying to get my mom's attention sometimes and not being heard. And it frustrated me. And I think you live it every day. When you're not listening, if you're trying to multitask, I get pissed off. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. This next one is simpatico with something you said. I put firm. You said you wanted to. Oh, no. You said you wanted to be.
Less firm.
Less firm. So that's funny how we see each other as different. I feel like. Maybe
too firm.
Well, I feel like you say no to like the things like candy and those kind of superficial things that I don't put importance on. But sometimes I feel like we talked about this last episode.
Okay.
You don't lose your mind like I lose my mind.
I think we just have things that are important to both of us.
Yes.
For me, my weight and my health is extremely important and I don't want our kids to be fat and like really unhealthy. So for me, having that.
Hey, what are you trying to say?
No. I'm not trying to say anything. I'm just saying like for you, you know. Like we talked about with Dr. Laura, not spilling your milk for the thousandth time of the day is super important. To me, it's not really that big of a deal. It sucks and it's frustrating, but it's not that big of a deal to me.
Right.
But to me, their health is super important. So I get very much like, no, you already had a piece of candy. I'm not going to have a fat child. Put the damn candy back.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes. The third one I put was patience. You have a ton, but we could always be better. And sometimes you reach your limit because you just want 5 minutes. And I get it. Because like I said, they bother the crap out of you. So, but like I said, we could all be better that we signed up for this. So even in our moments of we just want to be left alone, we got to pull it together, be a little more patient. Pot is calling the kettle black here big time because I'm the most impatient person ever. But I'm starting to realize that we could all improve in that, I think.
Well, patience is my number one for you.
Yeah, I figured, as it should be.
Yes, I feel like you could use a little bit of calming down yourself. I think we all can, like you said. For number two, I think less striving for perfection and more points for effort would be great.
Yeah.
I think that would be helpful to them.
I'm with you, yeah.
Maybe seeing the positive, trying to turn around the thing that frustrated you and see the positive in it, like the spilling of the milk.
Yep.
Like, hey, Isabel, totally appreciate that you tried to move the glass, but you still were not paying attention and you spilled it.
Yeah.
Can we fix this? Can we figure out what to do together?
Yeah. You know, I tried that the other day with something and it worked.
Oh, good.
I like included her in the thing. I don't remember what it was, but.
Awesome.
It was like light bulb. So yeah. Thanks, Dr. Laura. Yeah. It worked.
And the last one for me is language. Because you know what really bothers them. Yeah. I don't want my kids to be potty mouths.
Yeah.
I'm very of the opinion that if you just aren't intelligent enough to find something else to say is when you say it. I know you're extremely intelligent, so it's weird to me that you just like constantly spit out bad words. So,
you know, you can go fuck yourself, all right?
No, that's what I'm saying. It's strange to me that you do that because I know you're extremely intelligent. You can say things in a different way.
Okay, so can I explain?
Yes.
I think it's important. I was doing so well working for Disney.
I know.
At first, I wasn't because in my line of business, there was lots of swearing thrown around. And then we kind of got slapped for it and all of us tried to be better. And then I come to Boston and literally every other word out of people's mouth in Boston, especially at work, is the F word.
Right.
And I don't want to come across as, you're right, I am more intelligent. And sometimes I think about it just like you do. Like, why was that necessary? But I don't want to come across too much like Jacob comes across sometimes. And I can as well. Like, I'm better than you. So I don't want to sit there and sound...
Well,
like I try to fit in, you know, and so then right. It just becomes part of your daily thing and it's hard to turn off.
Okay. Well, that's what I was going to say. Like I can cuss like a sailor while we're here at home. I absolutely cannot do that at my job. Like it's opposite it for me.
Yeah.
And I guess I just know how to turn it off and turn it on.
Yeah.
I think it's just something we need to focus on. I don't know. I think
I suck. I know.
No, it's not that you suck, but if there was something that I did that made my kid that upset, because it really makes him upset, I would try just really hard to not do that thing.
I'm trying.
I know. And I love it. Don't I love you
I'm,
for trying.
Don't think I'm not trying.
Points for effort.
Thank you. Kay. Thank you. So the next one is through your child's eyes. If your child had to describe your relationship in three words, what would they be? So I think the kids would describe me as loving, fun, and inclusive. I think that we, as a family, like include each other in everything. Maybe some things we probably shouldn't, like we've mentioned before, like money discussions and whatever, but we're always together. Part of that's due to our situation.
Mm-hmm.
So I put inclusive. And then three areas that I wish that they think that we should grow would be patience, fun, and fairness. They always say we're not fun. Which is bullshit. I think we are fun.
We just don't do the stuff they think is fun.
And they think we're not
fair.
Because
they want to go to theme parks and buy stuff all day.
Yes.
We think it's fun to go see historic sites and
go for a drive and relax.
And go for a drive and all that stuff. And they don't think that's fun. I feel like they see me as their helper. Like I just help them with anything that they need help with. Somebody they can come to talk to. And somebody that they can depend on, which I don't think is necessarily all that bad, I guess.
Well, I think we're talking about how they see our relationship.
Oh, you and I?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was my relationship with them.
Well, maybe. I don't know. Just read what you wrote.
Oh, okay.
The wheels are coming off. Too many pages.
Yeah, too many pages. I think they all got...
Yeah, read what you wrote.
I just did.
I know. Carry on with the rest of it. Yeah.
If your child had to list three areas of growth for your relationship, what would they be? I think they would be the same as our, like, my own personal areas of growth.
Yeah.
Maybe being a little bit more given in for them, you know, that kind of thing. I think they would really enjoy if I could do that for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Okay, go. Compassion and trust.
All right, so this is us as a couple. How do our areas of strength and growth relate to those of your partner? So how do mine relate to you? Are they similar? Do they complement each other? Is there some friction? I put that our styles are very different sometimes. Of course, there's friction. It's never going to be 100%. But I also think they complement each other. Like, we got a good system going on for the most part. Kind of a good cop, bad cop thing. And it's different for each child. I'm the good cop with Bella.
No, I feel like I'm always the bad cop.
I'm the bad cop with Jacob.
Okay.
Oh, all right. No way. You even said it yourself. If I'm too
you're
hard
right.
on him, he'll come to you. But
that's true.
I feel like you're always the harder one on Isabel, and so I have to go talk her off the ledge, and hey, it's going to be okay, and hugs and kisses make her laugh.
Right.
So I think it complements each other. We mostly get what we want out of them.
Yeah. So I basically said the exact same thing. I said they don't really relate to each other at all, but I actually think that's a good thing. I think if we were too much together on one side or too much together on the other side, it wouldn't balance each other out. I think we're supposed to balance each other out. I think if we both didn't have any patience or if we both, you know, did everything for them instead of making them independent, this would be really bad.
Yeah. Yeah. So this next one says, are your differences in parenting currently a source of negativity and conflict in your relationship with your partner? Would you like to see that shift? Explain. I said sometimes, of course, it's always going to be when stressors are high. And we talked about that last episode as well. would I like to see that shift? I put yes and no sometimes, but also I think, I don't know, I think what we got going on works, like I said. So I don't want to do some big, huge parenting overhaul. I think we can polish it up and do a couple little tweaks here and there, but I don't think we need to go all in and change big things. You know, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. I said that yes, it does cause some conflict in a relationship sometimes. It's the same, you know, with you. I would like to see a tiny bit of a shift, but again, it doesn't need to be like this huge, complete, like you said, overhaul. I said that you would like to see me feel a little bit more strongly about things, and I would like to see you feel a little less strongly about things.
Yeah. I'm with you on that one.
Yeah. All right. So at the end, we get to reflect.
What did we learn? Just what like we do learn? On the show sometimes.
Just exactly.
Yeah.
Does your current approach to parenting align with your deepest hopes and dreams for your child, your relationship with your child? Why or why not? Do you want to go first or do you want me to go first on this one?
I'll go first. I said yes, because I think that all the things I do, good or bad, align with my deep desire for them to be passionate about life and to be a good person. And all the things I said about that. Like I said, good and bad. Some of my approaches are way off base and not good, but they're coming from that deep desire for them to be great people.
Okay.
Strive for excellence.
Well, I said no. I said they're never going to appreciate the things that we give them and the hard work that we do if we continue to do things, at least me, continue to do things the way that I'm doing them. They will not be independent and they will be spoiled.
Okay. Yeah.
So I feel like I at least need to make a change.
You should give yourself more credit. You're not that bad.
Start with the man in the mirror.
Nice.
Thanks. I have it singing in my head right now. So.
Yeah. That's a good segue to our next subject after this.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I get it. I get where you're going with that one. All right. What are the steps you feel need to be taken to bring your approach into alignment with your deepest hopes and dreams for your child? Be specific as you create a vision for the future.
Well, I think we need to continue to work on our opportunities. There's no point in doing these things if you're not going to work on the things that you say are challenges.
Right.
You need to work on them. And I also think that what we're doing, these podcasts are our own form of therapy. We get to have a deep conversation that we maybe normally wouldn't have. So yeah, I don't know. I think that seeking out people like Dr. Laura and or other therapies and doing things like this regularly is important.
Yeah, for sure. I said that I need to give them more responsibility to not only help in the household, but also as they get older, they need to know how to do things for themselves, to want to help other people and that sort of thing. If that makes sense.
It does.
I said, get some help in the home so that I can spend more time with my family, and then to not overreact when they tell me something bad so that they will continue to come to me.
I love it.
That's it.
Well, I feel good about this. How do you feel?
I do too. I think we kind of have a good path to start down now after doing that.
I agree. And if y'all like that or you fell asleep or whatever, go to Dr. Laura's website and download this and do it yourself, especially, I was going to say, especially all you parents out there, but this wouldn't apply if you weren't parents, I guess.
Right. But there is something that is going to apply that I would like to introduce that we're going to work on and we're going to report back next week.
Yes.
Should I do it now?
Yeah. Tease it.
All right. So I told you that I think next week we should have a relationship issue. Episode, not issue.
Sure, whatever.
This is in a newspaper, magazine,
whatever. Plenty of relationship issues.
We have lots of issues. But I think we should do a relationship episode. And on Dr. Laura's site, there's this thing. It is called Random Acts of Connection.
Oh.
And I think this is really cool. It's a relationship building game designed to help couples reestablish connection, affection, and emotional intimacy.
I love
it. So I think it's going to be super fun. So we have like a little page where we have to do something for each other each day. And then we have to write down. Only 5 days. We get 2 days off.
Oh, good.
Yes. Whew. So we have to write down what we did, kind of like a reflection on what happened afterwards and how it made us feel and things like that. And then we kind of come back together and talk about it.
So I love it.
Cool. And the really cool part too is she has like a whole list of things that you can choose from to do for your partner. And she mentioned the 5 love languages.
Perfect.
So we are already ahead in this situation. So next week we're going to report on how this worked.
Excellent. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm excited about it.
All right. to wrap this up, because
let's do it. Wrap
this
it up.
Was a little long, but it was important.
Right.
We screwed up and forgot to do the
No, hold on.
Hit the pause button, Joins.
Back
you screwed
up.
That up. I screw up a lot. We did not watch the X-Men.
We did not.
So if you came here for this episode for the real review, boy, are you disappointed. I was going to say something in the beginning, but I'm like, no, I want them to listen.
Yeah, okay.
And I highly doubt anybody's coming just for that.
It's probably not.
But if you are, do a rating and review and tell us, and maybe we'll switch the order up. Anyway, we didn't watch it. It's like 2 hours and 24 minutes. We will watch it.
Because but why we did we not watch it?
Well, we didn't watch it because on Saturday, when we normally watch it, we just didn't feel like it. We got a late start. Something was going on. I don't remember what.
Yeah, I don't remember either.
And on Sunday, it was a Super Bowl. So we were going to watch it on Sunday, and then the kids wanted to see the halftime show. Jacob likes football, so we just kind of got a late start again. And so we watched Tom Brady, the God himself, win his 7th Super Bowl ring. Mm-hmm. So we figured we'd do a real quick review on the halftime show, which was The Weeknd.
The Weeknd.
He's missing a letter there. I'm not sure why.
Just to be relevant.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
I'm sure there's some sort of existential reason why.
Adam Carolla always does a funny bit. Like, if you're going to be a singer or a rapper or something, like, pick something tough. Don't be like Common or The Weeknd. What does that even mean? You know?
Yeah, I don't know.
What kind of image are we putting? Anyway, I tend to like his style of music.
Yes.
I love it when someone actually goes out there and performs and doesn't lip sync. I can tell he was actually singing. He's a great singer. But I thought it lacked a little bit of production value.
You
a little
lie.
Weird. No. I loved the musicality of it. I thought it was great. One of the best ever when it comes to that. Stage presence and overall performance, not so much.
Yeah, I was bored out of my mind.
Right. I feel like when they bring the guests on and Justin Timberlake rips the nipple off, there's production there.
He didn't rip her nipple off. Well, jeez. It's a little violent.
Last year with the Latina.
Yeah, no,
butt
we're
shaking,
not even going to get into that.
A lot of stage presence, less musicality, more, but it's great. Exciting to watch all that. This one was not as exciting to watch with the jockstrap faces, but musically, beautiful. Those are my thoughts.
I was bored out of my mind. I know of him and I know of a few songs, but I don't know that many of them. So some of them were like, I don't know this song. So I kind of was meh. And then I thoroughly enjoy when they bring out like a surprise person.
Yeah. Like, hey, here's Bon Jovi.
Yeah. I love that when they do that. And they didn't do that here. I feel like we missed the whole stadium part of it, like being at a stadium, because we were all like focused on his face the entire time.
It's a weird face, too.
It's not that it's a weird face. It's a fine face, but as faces go. But like the weird thing in the mirror factory thing.
Yeah, I almost had a seizure.
Well, I was going to get sick because I'm motion sick. But anyway, that was just weird. I lost the idea that we're at a stadium and at a football game. And yes. I felt like we're watching a music video.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's what that's supposed to be about.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So,
I mean, the stadium atmosphere is a little weird this year anyway, but I get what you're saying. It didn't feel like a halftime show.
Right. I'm sure people will argue with me. Of course, Lady Gaga, her performance was freaking outstanding.
Yeah.
Amazing. One of the best I've ever seen. But one of my other favorites was when Coldplay did it. And they had like all these cool light show things and all these people doing everything. And it was very much not about them as like the whole production.
They did a halftime show?
Yeah, it was so good.
Oh, I don't remember that.
And people are probably like, that was the shittiest halftime show ever. But I'm thinking I really enjoyed it. It was like visually exciting and the music, you know, Coldplay's awesome. So the music was really good. He clearly was singing because some of it was like, ooh, that's a little much. Yeah. But I don't know. Like, I was bored.
Yeah. I mean,
it was really long.
I'm a fan. I knew all the songs. I was singing along.
I know.
I enjoyed
them. I know you're a fan, and that's great.
I enjoyed the music part. Very eclectic music style. We should do an episode on that sometime.
I think we kind of already did.
Like, my musical
stylings.
People
would be surprised is in our CD case or something.
But yeah, I mean, as far as excitement and production value goes, kind of it matched with the game. The game was kind of boring as well. So.
I'm sad we missed the guy in the pink thong running around.
Oh, I didn't miss it. I saw it 100%.
Oh, I didn't see it.
I always look for things like that because I'm a security guy.
But here's the
guy.
Thing, though. People were saying that it was completely not in their feed at all. And like some of them said, I watched the entire game and did not see that.
Oh, no, there's footage online about.
Oh, I know, like, there's footage online, but they said when they watched the game, it was not there.
No, I mean, there's footage online with like the announcer, like doing a play-by-play of him running. It's fantastic.
That's awesome. We need that guy that was a laid off announcer that was just like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
Doing all the mundane, like.
So the funniest part about, since you brought this guy up, the pink thong guy, and I don't know if this is true. I need to fact check this, but apparently there's some picture floating around of another guy who met him in a bar pregame.
Uh-huh.
And said that that guy put a $50,000 bet down. There's all these prop bets for the Super Bowl. Like, what color will the Gatorade be when they dump it?
Okay.
All this stuff. One of them is, will there be a streaker? This guy bet on himself $50,000.
You can't do that.
It was plus 700 something. So he apparently paid $1,000 to deal with the fine and jail or whatever and get out of jail. And he walked away with over $300,000 because
he bet. You can't do that. You can't bet on yourself like that.
Just all you're betting on is a prop bet is, will there be a streaker? If you happen to be the streaker, you can bet. You
can
win
that's
that.
Like, oh, I know my company's going to sell stuff. I'm going to go to the stock exchange and you can't do that.
I mean, that's what I saw. So I don't. And that it was definitely him in the picture.
I call fi on that. That is not okay,
man. I don't
know.
I'm just saying that's
what
I saw.
That would be like a boxer. Like, I'm going to throw this. So I'm going to bet on the other guy. Like,
you don't think
that
happens? That happens all the time. Pete Rose, hello.
Yeah, and he got in trouble.
Yeah, well, maybe this guy will get in trouble.
You can't do that shit.
I don't
know.
Pete Rose,
he's not a boxer.
I know, he's a baseball player.
No, stop it. I'm saying that's like the actual person doing it.
Yeah, what? Anyway. I don't know if it's, like I said.
I knew that, though. Come
good,
on.
Yeah.
Give me some high fives on that
high
one.
High five.
Air five.
I don't know if this is true or not. That's just what I heard. But you need to look up the play-by-play where the guy's like, he's like,
that's hilarious.
Pull up your pants, man. And he's like.
Speaking of pulling up your pants, never mind. We can't talk about this right now. We got to go.
Okay, great.
I'll talk about it later.
So next week, we promise to finish up the X-Men saga series, right. Whatever. And yeah, that'll be that.
That'll be that.
All right. Thanks, everybody. I hope you learned something about our parenting styles and maybe this will help you.
Yeah. Have these discussions.
Go to Dr. Laura. Or no, I'm sorry.
LauraFroyen.
FROYEN.com. Download it yourself and do it yourself. And yeah, kick ass at parenting like we do.
Yeah.
Or at least we try.
We try. Points
right.
For effort.
Thanks, everybody. Wash your hands. Wear your mask.
Be nice.
Be nice. Be a good person.
And cheers.
Cheers.